Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn, and with me in the studio once again, Chef Simon Arnold of Seasoned and Seared and Keith Rhodes of Catch. Welcome back. We're talking about food of the season. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 910-343-1138, or email us at coastline@whqr.org. So, gentlemen, we've talked about the go-to dishes. And Keith Rhodes, you talked about a baked salmon. And Simon, your go-to dish, what was that?
Well,
that was all the way back in segment one.
I think we did chestnuts.
It was chestnuts. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Now, let's talk about a cohesive holiday menu for a second, just sort of a sample menu, not necessarily what you may be serving this particular season. But Keith Rhodes, if you were going to help a home cook put together a holiday menu that would be a crowd pleaser for everyone, what would we have on that menu for an appetizer, a salad, a main dish, and a dessert?
Appetizer, I would just say shrimp cocktail. I think being off the coast and you could still get some local shrimp right now, that'd be a great choice. A salad, let's go with the root vegetable salad where we roast those vegetables. Simon mentioned earlier about white truffle oil. You know, you can make a little truffle vinaigrette to drizzle over those warm vegetables out of the oven. Great little salad. Maybe for an entree, it just kind of varies for me. I'm definitely the seafood kind of guy. But I would also say, you know, something that I encourage people to try, and it's kind of popular these days, get you a piece of lean pork belly. Mm-hmm. Roast that off in the oven, and you do it about 2 hours or whatever. We can provide you with the recipes. But I think that's something where you get that really crispy top on there and you slice it and it's very moist, not smoky like a piece of bacon, but definitely has that mouthfeel of bacon. And I guess for dessert, I mean, a really nice homemade sweet potato pie would just really take the cake. You know, whipped cream with flavors of eggnog spices in it would just be really dope, I think.
I'm there. Simon Arnold, what would a great sample chef for a home or sample menu for a home cook be?
So if we're going to do the appetizer salad thing, I would this is a good time of year for oysters. So I just bust out some half-shell oysters, put a little mignonette on there, which is like the classic, which is basically minced shallots and vinegar. So from there, a salad. There are a lot of great winter greens right now, like kales and stuff like that. So you can always do that. an entree. I'm trying to think of like what we used to do when I was a kid. I think roast were the beef thing was always like my mom. Our guilty pleasure, I think, is eating roast beef, and so we used to have a lot of roast beef. But I personally really love chicken. I do. And
you sound a little apologetic about that.
I'm sorry.
Why?
I'm sorry.
Why are you apologetic about that?
I don't know. I think chicken can get a bad rap. You get the thing where it's like, oh, yeah, it tastes like chicken, you know? So right. It's like that's like it's a ubiquitous flavor. Or, you know what I mean? That's just what the comparative thing.
A good piece of chicken is hard to beat.
It's insanely good.
It is so gratifying and fulfilling.
Yeah.
So, you know, chicken is one of those kind of middle-of-the-road things. But I think when it's prepared perfectly, sous vide really lends itself to chicken really well. Because when you remove it from that bag – if you've left that skin on.
And then sear that skin
later on. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Or another good technique is there's a guy, Heston Blumenthal, out in England. He's what he does is he takes his oven really, really low, basically pushes the thighs away because when you truss your chicken or your bird, whatever it is, your thigh pressing against the body of the bird creates basically like a condensed area, and it takes longer for heat to get to that. So he presses it out, roasts it really slow, comes out of the oven, slow as in like 220 degrees for 3.5 hours, pulls it out, let it come to room temperature, bump up your oven to like 475, brush butter on there, throw it in, and then you can roast your skin super golden brown.
I smell it.
We smell it in the studio. Yeah. Yeah. But that goes against what we were all taught about how to cook a bird. You know, Alice Waters, I think, taught us to tie up the legs.
That's
so
the
that
traditional
the whole thing
French thing.
And I tell you what, there's a chef that works over, one of my friends, Chris, that works over there to the City Club. And I tell you what, a few years ago, and I had the opportunity to meet Thomas Keller not too long ago.
Whoa.
But Thomas Keller's oven-roasted chicken, high heat, the first go-around, finished on a low heat.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Olive oil, salt, and pepper, just rub the bird down,
and
put
so
it in.
When you're talking about high heat for the chicken on the first go-around, how long, at what temperature?
Well, I think it was more like 450 degrees for the first hour, and then they cut it down to 350 for the last 45 minutes or so. But what that does is that gives you that really brown, kind of crispy exterior,
mm-hmm.
and it cooks it a certain way, and also cooking it with a little bit of water, a little pan of water in the
steam
oven.
Steam it, sort of, help moist.
Kind of a combination. Kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're merging into right now with culinary arts and chefs these days. A lot of the old, you can't go forward without knowing the old.
Mm-hmm.
French is the basis for all of what we do, no matter if Simon is a talented Spanish chef or I fancy myself a great Asian chef. Those are the basics that we have to know. So once we have those foundations, when we talk about sous vide and trussing and mirepoix and brumois cuts and all of these.
Okay, help me with those last two terms.
Yeah,
what do they mean?
Well, the brumois is a very, very small dice. The mirepoix is a vegetable mix that we use in cooking celery, onion, and carrot kind of deal. In Creole culture, it's called the Trinity.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, peppers as opposed to celery.
Yeah, yeah. And so when you know those, you can definitely
bridge out and do other things. You have to know the rules to break them. And the rules aren't – it's pretty much kind of what you're saying.
I think Julia Child's The Way to Cook, I think that was one of her cookbooks. Those are wonderful books to have this time of the year. And I speak of books because I came from an era of only books. And that's how we got our knowledge.
That's how you learned.
And so today, you know, these college graduates who are – trying to do something in a dorm, or these first people who have their first apartment. You know, you got the wonders of YouTube, and you have chefs like us who take that instruction and put it on there. So don't let technology be a scary thing, Grandma, when you're at the house and you want to bust out some cookies in 30 minutes or whatever. You know, jump right on there, punch it in, sugar cookies on YouTube, and see what comes up. I mean, you know, embrace the technology.
Yeah.
And speaking of sugar cookies, Simon Arnold, let's finish your imaginary menu. Yes. What are we putting on the menu for dessert?
Oh, gosh. Is it a bad time of year to do ice cream?
Never.
Never a bad
Never.
Time. Never a bad time to do ice cream. Well, I would assume that if I had chestnuts somewhere, I would probably make chestnut ice cream.
Chestnut ice cream. That's so interesting.
Sure. Yeah.
That's great. Now, I have to ask, as chefs, are there things that diners ever do, like dining room behavior, that just really gets under your skin? Like, Keith Rhodes, if you saw someone serve a dish.
I don't want to get in trouble right now on this. But go ahead. Let's see where we can go. I can navigate through this one.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. So a waiter comes out and serves a dish that you've just cooked, and then you see the diner reach over for salt. Now, would that upset you, or is that just a figment of the British comedic imagination?
Well, now that's a figment of imagination, because we season our food what we think is perfectly, because we don't have salt and pepper on the tables.
You don't. So someone would have to ask for it.
Someone would have to ask for it.
Would that upset you?
Not really. I mean, it's kind of like the person who wants their tuna cooked well done. When you come to my restaurant, and you ask for a piece of tuna well done, I cook that for you well done. I would prefer.
And the whole time you're thinking, I'm ruining this piece of tuna.
Not, you know, in my early stages as a chef, I did think that way. But, you know, one thing coming to age of a chef, I've understood is that particular person didn't just come to my restaurant that night and wanted it well done. That's how they prefer it all the time. So why intrude my personal, you know, opinions about that? You give them what they want and make them happy. And that's what we do as a chef, you know. And, I mean, people come in and I have the $50 ribeye on there and they want it, cook it extra well. You know, I cringe, my teeth cringe, you know, and I'm like, oh, okay. And that's how they enjoy it,
right?
You know.
Simon Arnold, pet peeves for you. What have you seen someone do in a dining room where you've just gone, oh, please, no. This is a work of art. What are you doing?
Oh, boy. Well, I'd say something that's happened to me before that I actually had to laugh like, I couldn't help but laugh. I had someone come in and ask if our French fries were gluten-free. And I kind of giggled a little bit.
Yeah.
Because there's no gluten in potatoes.
Right.
Anyway, so
right.
As far as like people seasoning, that doesn't bother me. You know, everybody, like he was saying, it's personal preference. You can't argue that.
And I think that in 2014, I've seen so many specialty diet requests. I had a diner come in, and I hope you aren't listening. She is allergic to everything red. When it came to food.
Red, like the color red.
Yes.
Not as in rare,
yes.
But
so
like
red.
No radishes, no beets.
No red onions. You could have green onions, but not red onions.
That's
interesting. Yeah, super interesting. She had a little card and the whole nine yards. So being able to accommodate, you know. And of course, in our own homes, which we call our kitchens, we're firing on everything. So you come in with whatever, we're able to accommodate pretty much whatever.
Right.
You know, and it's super interesting these days because people are finding out more. They're a little bit more conscious about their bodies. The doctors are finding out new things about this and that and gluten tolerances and all of these different things. And so as a chef, we have to constantly evolve, be able to create great menus for the customers that come through and want to experience what we offer.
Yeah.
So thinking about home cooks and they're putting together a menu, what's the biggest mistake that a home cook could make trying to put together a holiday menu for a big crowd?
Just keep it simple, you know, just keep it simple, stay within your comfort zone. If you're doing something that it's just going to put too much stress on you. And clean as you go. Prep anything that you can prep in advance. Cranberry sauce, you can do that 2 days before, whatever. It'll keep fine in your refrigerator. Your soup, whatever. If you're doing that, you can do that the day before. You can even cook your bird if that's what you're doing. That's what I would do. Cook it the day before and then heat it up.
Cooking it and taking shots at the bar. It's like, how many do I take and now I feel this way? You know, it's more like a fine brandy or a fine liquor. You do it slow and that's how you become successful. If you rush it, if you don't put the love in it, that's exactly what you're going to get out of it. Yeah. So take your time.
Have fun. Have fun. Cooking's fun.
Have a few shots and just take your time and cook it with a lot of love.
Turn on some jazz.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. You know, you're not going to cook that prime rib in 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Keith Rhodes, what does that mean, cook it with a lot of love? Has there ever been a time when you've been in the kitchen cooking and you've suddenly gone, wait a minute, I'm not cooking with love?
Well, yeah, and those were the times early on, again, when I'm feeling like I've got to run the show and I didn't have the proper plan and I'm in there and I'm just running with my head cut off. And, you know, it's like, okay, let me step out of this. Now, the next holiday, how am I going to make this a little bit better? How am I going to be a little bit more relaxed where I'm really enjoying the experience and not feeling overwhelmed with the experience? Keep it very simple. Don't try to go far out of your box. And you know your customer, know your family, know what they like. You know, don't serve them Chinese when all they want is Italian.
Yeah.
You know?
But also
right.
Don't sweat over the details, too. And like you said, learn from your mistakes. I mean, that's...
If we're talking about elevating a traditional dish, so going back to our old friend, the green bean casserole that nobody would put on the table, or, I don't know, even thinking about figgy pudding, what's a traditional Christmas dish? Yams that you can help people kind of bring to the next level, bring into this century?
Well, I mean, with sweet potatoes or yams or something like that, and it's so varied with what you can particularly do with that. But, something that I would enjoy that I think that we kind of bypass a lot, you know, we didn't talk about a soup today, and we're talking about the holiday season when it's normally a little chilly or something like that. You know, peel these sweet potatoes, dice them a half inch or so, cover them with water, cook them until they're fork tender. Now, at this point, we don't want to drain them. Keep that water in there. Add a tablespoon of yellow curry paste, a cup of heavy cream. Get your blender out. Blend all that stuff together. Season with a little salt and pepper. And taste that. Now we've got a really nice sweet potato soup. You could call it a bisque if you like. And I think that that's very gratifying. Something that's very easy. It's very light. I mean, even your model sister that comes in would definitely have some of that, you know, from time to time. Yeah, exactly. And it's a new spin on something that we're very familiar with instead of roasting the potatoes whole, you know, or making the sweet potato pudding or any of those kind of variants that we're very accustomed to. You know?
Simon Arnold, how would you elevate a traditional holiday dish? Would you ever make a fruitcake? Or is that something – is that a tradition that just needs to die and,
I don't think that – I mean, there are traditions for a reason, I guess. I don't – would I make a fruitcake? No, because I don't really eat them.
But, you know, you just planted a seed, though, because, you know
– I would say
I would not just do that. But I tell you what, you've inspired me just with that request right there and me thinking about it. I'm going to take that to my daughter, which is my baker at the restaurant, and I'm going to tell her to make me a fruitcake.
There's an Italian version of a fruitcake
I don't know the name of it.
Yeah,
right,
I can't think of it, but it uses like really big chunks of really, really bitter chocolate. Mm. I can't remember the name of what that is, but that's
good. That's good, because as a youngster, I remember looking at that thing on top of the refrigerator.
What the heck is that?
And I'm like, I don't know about that. you know, but what is this green cherry in there or something like that? But I could definitely see that, especially for us. That poses a great, great challenge.
Okay. Very quickly, Keith Rhodes, what's coming up at Catch?
Oh, the holiday season. We've got the Feast of Seven Fishes. We're doing that Christmas Eve, seven courses of seafood, an Italian celebration.
And Simon Arnold, we'll catch you at Seasoned Gourmet?
Yeah, I'll do some classes at Seasoned Gourmet. Also, I post recipes and videos to my website, seasonedandseared.com. I have a chestnut soup recipe that I just did at the last pop-up that got really good reviews, so take a look at that.
Great. And we'll put links to your websites on ours. Thanks so much.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, it's been a good time.
So glad to have you both here. That's this edition of Coastline. Thanks, Keith Rhodes of Catch and Simon Arnold of Seasoned and Seared. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Coastline returns next year, January 7th. Representative Susie Hamilton and Ted Davis join us for a legislative look ahead. You're listening to Coastline here on HQR News 91.3 FM.